Kansas City is obsessed with barbecue. And today, after 5 years of food shows on everything but barbecue, we're finally doing it. The barbecue show on KCUR's Central Standard. But hold up, before we get into this citywide obsession, could I share a little food obsession of my own? A few years back, I learned about a drink called Switchel. It's a traditional farm drink that haymakers used to prepare by the jugful and sip through hot days in the fields. It's tangy with ginger, and it's being revived in some circles. I have tried it. It is tasty. But what's the story? I haven't found anyone who could tell it convincingly until now. There's a picture book for kids about hay. And in it, the main characters take a break from rolling hay bales to drink Switchel. The author of that book, Hey, 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 joins us now. Christy Mahaley, good morning.
Good morning.
What is Switchel?
Switchel is also called Haymaker's Punch. It's a very tasty and thirst-quenching drink made out of apple cider vinegar, ginger, and water. And in my state, Vermont, it's always sweetened with maple syrup.
And then in the Midwest, it is typically sweetened with honey, right?
Honey or molasses. Molasses is probably the first sweetener that was used. I believe Switchel originated in sort of like the Jamaican islands. So
really?
They used, the Caribbean.
What intrigued you about it as you started learning the history of this drink?
Well, it's such a natural drink, and it's so incredibly refreshing. It's like I tell kids, it's like the original sports drink, but it's all with ingredients that people just could get easily, and it's all natural ingredients. And it's got this long history. And one of the things that made me really want to include it in the book about making hay was I love the name.
It is fun to say.
You
kind of picture grass kind of switching in the breeze a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So I discovered your book by happenstance. My son picked it up in the library. It's a really fun book. I can feel the summer day. I can feel the tall grass and all that room to run. Why were you writing a book about hay to begin with?
Well, that's a good question. I live in Vermont. I had lived for 10 years in town in the capital city, which is Montpelier, which is, you know, big town for Vermont. It's about 6,000 people. And my husband and I moved out to the country, and we now have a big hay field. I had never paid any attention to the process of making hay before. But that first fall, we rented it to a farmer who came and did the haying, and it was just so fascinating to watch. I mean, you start with this field of waving grass, and the big machines start coming in, and first it's all mowed, and then you have this whole process of drying it, and you have a special machine that fluffs up the grass, and then it's rolled into these it's raked into these rows, and then it looks gorgeous, and then it's rolled up into these bales. And I just started thinking about how magical the whole process was.
And you call it storing summer in a bale of hay.
Exactly. That was the line that started rolling around in my head as I was watching this process. So that was the beginning of writing what started as a poem, actually. And then I realized, oh, this could be a whole book, because I was already writing for kids, and I started researching, and there was no other book sort of letting kids know, how do we make hay? So
I thought
there was a place for it.
Of course, as someone obsessed with Switchel, I need to bring it back to that. At what point in your research did Switchel come kind of to your awareness? Because you really dove in and researched this drink.
I did. I just am a researcher at heart, but I was telling a friend who was a haymaker that I was going to write this picture book, and I was going to talk about all the cool machines. And she said, oh, well, you have to put Switchel in there. So that got me started on the path of finding out all there was to find out about Switchel.
So tell me the fun facts about Switchel.
Well, schnitzel has been around for hundreds of years. It was very popular in colonial times and in the 18th and 19th centuries among farmers. It is especially popular at haying time and continues to be so. People in Vermont, make it up in their kitchens. It's very easy to make on your own. And in addition, and this is why everyone is learning about it now. Several companies have started making it and bottling it and selling it. A couple of companies, I think, started in Vermont. There's some in Brooklyn, and I'm
Of
sure there's
course.
other one. Exactly. I'm sure there's other ones too. But I also learned that it's got other names. So in the Little House on the Prairie books,
Yes, that would be our neck of the
yes,
woods,
that's
so
your
to speak.
neighborhood. Yes, exactly. In the book *The Long Winter*, there's a haying scene, and Laura and Pa are out there in the field, getting really hot, and Ma brings out some very refreshing ginger water. So it turns out ginger water is basically the same as schnitzel. Ginger water would have probably been sweetened with molasses, but it's still got that vinegar and ginger. And it's Laura describes it as very delicious going down the throat. So
So you have a schnitzel recipe at the
I
end
did.
of your book. Did you experiment with different ingredients and combos?
I sure did. The recipe I ended up going with is very basic, but it's also kind of sweet on the sweet side of the range of recipes because I figured it was for kids and I didn't want to overwhelm them with the apple cider vinegar sour. I did. I mean, the basic ingredients are the apple cider vinegar. In my book, it's the maple syrup and the ginger and the water. You can put different amounts of water so it's a little, less strong tasting, but you can also add mint or basil or cucumbers. People add lemons. And it was a lot of fun experimenting with those variations.
Did you have a favorite variation that didn't make it into the book because of the whole need to make it like appeal to a kid's palate?
Oh, would you be asking about the alcoholic version of
Well,
schnitzel?
okay, so that's a thing. I should say that's like part of why it's experiencing revival, probably, is the whole artisan cocktail movement, and
Yes.
schnitzel was discovered, let's put it that
Yes.
way.
Some people consider it a base for a cocktail base.
But that is actually not what I mean. I mean, up to you, but like if there was a variation on this where you're like, man, I love this, not sure about the appeal that for a kid's book audience.
Well, I really like it with basil, and kids could go with that. I did want it to be as simple for the beginning schnitzel drinker as it could be. So I just stuck with the basic.
Bon Appetit's test kitchen manager also happens to be obsessed with schnitzel, and their website has his recipe, which is getting some pushback because he calls for juicing the ginger, which I guess is a little hoity-toity.
I think it might be considered hoity-toity in some corners. So one of the other things I learned is the current rage is to do it with fresh grated ginger, and I agree the fresh ginger just really makes it pop. But back in olden times, people didn't have a whole lot of access to fresh ginger, and so they probably
Or
just
countertop
used the power.
juicers.
Yeah, exactly. Or the electric juicers, right? So they were probably just using powdered ginger, which apparently was good enough for them.
How would you recommend enjoying a glass of schnitzel? Set the scene.
So you have to earn it, is my theory. So you're out there, and if you're not haying, it's a hot summer day, and you've been outside working, gardening, or something like that, and you sit down, and there's maybe a sun setting in the western sky, and you put your feet up, and you've had that cold pitcher of schnitzel chilling in your refrigerator all day long. It's got to be really cold. And you pour it out and you maybe add a lemon peel or something, and you just sit back and enjoy a hard-earned cold refresher.
Christy Mahaley, thank you so much for these pro tips on Switchel.
You're very welcome.
Christy's book is Hey, Hey, Hey. And now, this food show on KCUR Central Standard turns from little-known drink to best-known food tradition, barbecue. First, a challenge. We know you like burnt ends, we know you like ribs, and we know the names of the city's most iconic barbecue establishments. Call in with the unsung barbecue joint or unconventional menu item deserving our attention. Tell us something we don't know. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we're doing it. We're doing a barbecue show. It's spring. We feel good. We're ready for picnics, so bring it on. 816-235-2888. But priority goes to callers with unexpected recommendations. Tell us something we don't know about what's good in Kansas City's barbecue scene. 816-235-2888. The critics are Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, and Carlton Logan. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Howdy.
Good morning.
Pop quiz before we start with recommendations. An out-of-towner is visiting Kansas City. They want to know, what is the deal with barbecue in this town? And you say to them, what?
It's the best. Kansas City barbecue is so much better than any other barbecue in the country. And I think we have claim to the best burnt ends. That's our thing. The ribs. It's just the way it's all prepared and adored.
Jenny, you say to them?
I say, what's your favorite meat? Let's figure that out first, because that's pretty much what the locals do. They figure out where their favorite spots are to get each of the different kinds of protein and or sauces. So you can either kind of separate them by meat or by sauce. And so I would probably try to say, you know, what do you really want to taste while you're here? Burnt ends is a given. You have to give them burnt ends because that's what we're known for, to Mary's point.
Okay, and Carlton, you say to them?
I say that barbecue is such a part of our history, from Perry to Bryant's to Gates. We have such a rich history of barbecue, and yes, burn-ins are probably our best barbecue.
But offering. Bringing up history, it is interesting to think of the originators of particular styles of barbecue, or particular, like, people who formed communities around barbecue as sort of like are historical figures in Kansas City also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously one of the big topics right now in barbecue, like when people are talking about barbecue in Kansas City now, it's the Jones sisters are coming up in conversation. They went from being these under-the-radar local barbecue ladies with a dedicated following among those in the know to being national celebrities basically overnight. And Jenny, I know you've done stories on them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the Kansas City Star, Jill Silva, did a great piece about the Jones sisters years and years ago before the Queer Eye thing kind of hit. So I'm going to give her the credit for kind of discovering them, so to speak. But Queer Eye has certainly put them on a national, if not international, map. And their barbecue sauce is flying off the shelves for anybody who's tried to get a bottle of it. I have. Raise your hand, right? But yeah, I agree. We all now know where Caw Drive is.
And I noticed on their website they're asking patrons to be patient with the shipping because they are overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah.
A good problem to have,
exactly.
But a problem nonetheless. Jenny, you are saying we've got more than 100 barbecue places in Kansas City, with just about 20 of them getting most of the love.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure if that's just because they are the local favorites. I don't know if
that
they're
like risen to the top.
Right. Or if they're the oldest and have been around the longest. Or if because they are centrally located. So when you have tourists that come to the city, they're probably not going to go to the far-flung, the Edwardsville and the Grain Valleys of the world and the Leavenworths to try to get barbecue.
Which is not to say they don't have great barbecue.
Oh, they have great barbecue in all those places I named. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things where part of it probably has to do with the fact that that's the majority of the places that tourists can actually get to when they hit Kansas City.
But you know, what's interesting is I think the biggest craze, we had all the basics, but the craze really started with Oklahoma Joe's, now Joe's Kansas City. And it's not part of our long history. It hasn't been around that long when you think about some of the others.
Yes. Someone on Twitter referred to it, I believe, in code as a Johnny Come Lately.
Hmm. Well, they might not like that, but
fighting words.
Well, they did get an awful lot of national attention. I mean, I'm sorry, when Anthony Bourdain says, you know, eat here before you die,
yeah,
it puts you on the map pretty quick.
So you know, I guess the challenge to listeners has been the unexpected find in local barbecue. So I want each of you to give us one of your favorite, not so obvious recommendations to show them how it's done. Jenny, start us off with Weeby Smokin' at the Miami County Airport in Paola, Kansas.
I am fortunate in that I know someone who flies an airplane. And the very best and coolest way to get to Weeby Smokin' is to take off from whichever airport you choose in Kansas City and fly to the Miami County Airport in Paola, Kansas, where Weeby Smokin' is actually on the airport property. You can get there by driving. It just obviously takes a little longer. But, you know, it's one of those where you can literally pull your airplane right up like a parking spot out front, hop out and walk right in. And these guys have been competitive barbecue guys for a long time. I don't know that they still compete necessarily, but they did for years and years. They have the ribbons on the walls to prove it. They are doing excellent barbecue out there. It's one of those things where when you're out there, you have to get a slab of their baby back ribs. They only sell them by the slab. And that's really, those are really, really good. But if you're out there, I would tell you that, you know, their sandwiches are good. Their platters are all excellent. The one side that just I cannot get enough of there is their barbecued baked beans. And I'm kind of a sides person. I mean, assuming that the places we're talking about, all barbecue is probably delicious and equal and made in similar ways, smoked obviously for a long time, low and slow. Sides sometimes can make the difference in a place. And I'm telling you, the barbecue beans here, I don't know if they have a little crushed pineapple. There's something sweet. There's something spicy. Love the barbecue baked beans at Weeby Smokin'.
Are they as good as Jack Stack?
Yeah. Better.
Wow.
Better.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's hard to
there
beat.
There we go. Fighting words.
Yeah, it's already started.
It's already started.
Bring it on.
Who knew it would start over the beans?
That's right.
Okay, so for an off-the-beaten-path menu item, Mary, now this is maybe just a little off the beaten path, but tell me about the prime beef ribs on your list and explain what makes a prime beef rib not just a rib.
Well, it's a beef rib as opposed to most of the ribs that you get at a barbecue place are typically pork. And unlike a typical beef rib that could be a short rib, you've got to think prime rib. So the big, meaty, wonderful quality.
You're holding your hand in a fist like you're about to bludgeon me with a rib.
It's very Flintstonian.
Yeah, it is.
The way she's holding her hand.
But it's a real quality piece of meat that you're getting in the form of a rib. And I'm one of these people who loves to chew on bones. And if there's only one, my son and I are always going to fight over it. But at Jack Stack, you could get your own. And they're fabulous. And you don't need very many. You know, it's not like you have a whole slab. You have two or three.
Interesting.
So
happy.
They're giant. Prime beef ribs at Jack Stack.
Yes.
All right. Off the beaten path menu item. Also, Mary, or anyone, I guess, one of our producers is a fan of lamb ribs. Any other takers on that? He says that the Jack Stack in Martin City specifically does a mean lamb rib.
I think they all have them.
You know, to me, Jack Stack was always the one that did lamb first. Mm-hmm. I mean, that I know them for that, for sure. And I think all the locations, I've had them at the Freight House, so yeah. I believe all their locations. But I love that Martin City location. I have to tell you, if you want local color, that's the place
to
go.
It's got a distinct personality.
It does. I love going out there. So, yeah, I mean, that's what I know it for. But I know, who else was I reading does mutton? Somebody was doing a mutton rib. I'll have to remember who that was in my research, but... it's certainly out there and usually seasonal. You know, usually you can find
spring.
It more in the spring.
Spring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Carlton, EJ's Urban Eatery in the West Bottoms, we're going to take you off the beaten path in sauce now. They do mm-hmm. a white sauce. Tell me about that.
They do a white sauce, yes. So, EJ's opened a couple of years ago, I think.
Yep.
Chef John and Eric opened EJ's. And they have an espresso-rubbed brisket that is wonderful. It's served with a white barbecue sauce. And I know probably barbecue fans are probably losing their minds right now that a white barbecue sauce exists. But it's a very Southern thing. And it's mayonnaise, vinegar, a couple of other little ingredients. But it's a very kind of a cooling sauce.
Creamy, tangy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he is Southern. The chef is Southern originally, right? He's from the South, or is that not right?
I'm not sure.
I want to to say he's from Chicago.
I want to say Midwest.
He came on the show a long time ago and talked about that in Kansas City, if he was going to open a barbecue place, that he was not going, that we already had a certain kind of sauce, like, down, that he wasn't going to, like, do anything better than anyone was already doing in that area. So this seems like a reverential departure from tradition in a lot of ways.
Well, and his restaurant is a meat and three restaurant, which is from the South, you know, kind of a, you see a lot of these restaurants in the South that, you know, just fed workers on their lunch hour, just, you know, a meat and three sides. So I think that's probably where and why this Southern barbecue sauce is on the menu.
But he does have burnt ends, which I haven't had yet, but every time I see a picture of them, my mouth waters.
As a special?
Yep. And they have the regular Tuesdays, sauce. It's not the white barbecue sauce with that.
So barbecue is also kind of getting, learning how to do vegan, vegetarian fare. That is kind of a shocker for a lot of people, I think. Anyone tried anything on a vegetarian barbecue menu that really, like, blew their minds? Not that the menu has to be vegetarian. You know what I mean.
Well, jackfruit is the vegetable, fruit du jour.
The non-meat thing.
The non-meat. Okay, so if you're not just going to take a piece of tempeh or tofu and dredge it through barbecue sauce and call it a barbecue sandwich, let's go there, right? So we want a barbecue sandwich that actually looks like barbecue. It has the texture of barbecue.
And, it interacts with the sauce.
Right. So so jackfruit, when it's cooked, looks like pulled pork and falls apart and kind of can pull and string like pulled pork can. So that on a bun sauced will give you the visual sight line as well as a lot of flavor. I mean, it's just, it's very soft. It's very comforting. You know, I've had it at Char Bar. And then there's also a food truck called the Peaceful Pig Vegan Barbecue Food Truck in town that, if you can find them, does a very mean version. I haven't had that one yet, but it comes highly recommended by a lot of vegan friends I have.
Anyone else?
There's always the Portobello Z-Man from Joe's, which is very similar to the original, only with the portobello mushroom. And then you've still got the provolone cheese and the onion ring and sauce.
So the Z-Man is an institution, but for those who are not familiar, the Z-Man is?
It is the brisket, provolone cheese, onion rings, sauce.
Good job. You know, they've actually branched out. It's got a pork version, a chicken version, portobello, and then the traditional brisket. So you can get it in any flavor you want.
And Carlton, you like a smoked ham salad at a place called Brobeck's Barbecue.
Yes.
Do tell.
So I kept hearing about this wonderful smoked ham salad at Brobeck's, and I had been to Brobeck's, and the ribs are great, and the brisket is great, and I kept hearing about this ham salad, and I thought, ham salad at a barbecue? That doesn't sound right. It is beyond words. It is salty. My memory of it is
you look that like you're in almost entering a trance.
I am. It's you get the saltiness of the ham, and then the second note you get is the smokiness in the back of your throat, and it's just like, oh my God! And you can't eat enough of it. The day I went in to get it, and I tried it, she said, "You're going to be back in a couple of days."
Wow.
He'll never tell.
But, you know, I'm saying nothing.
Okay, I have questions. Is the ham ground?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I think there's a little turkey from one. They're not very open with the recipe, but I believe there's a little turkey in there as well.
Because they've got to get you coming back in a couple of days.
Yes.
But the other thing I love about Brobeck's is they don't try to reinvent the wheel. They embrace the whole Kansas City barbecue culture. And you go there, you get whatever, you know, barbecue meat you want, and then they have all the great sauces from around the city. So if you are a Gates fan, you can put that on your Brobeck's barbecue.
Interesting.
Or Hayward's or Joe's, any of them. So in masterpiece
in divided households,
everybody's happy.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Yes. They do not sauce the meat, so that when you go and you pick whatever sauce, if it's Gates, Bryant's, whatever, you put what you like on it.
I love that, because to Jenny's point, it's about the sauce. And if you don't like the sauce somewhere, you're not going to think it was a great barbecue place. This way you get what you want.
So this is the make your own, kind of.
Kind of. From a sauce perspective.
Let's talk to our callers. So the issue, the challenge that I have issued is tell us about a Kansas City barbecue dish or barbecue joint that we do not already know about sing the praises of an unsung local delicacy in our vast and varied barbecue landscape. 816-235-2888. Andrew in Gladstone, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
What do you want to tell us about?
There's a place that is kind of up by the highway. It's right off of Ambassador Road called Scott's Kitchen. The best thing that they do there is barbecue tacos.
Barbecue tacos. Okay. You are certainly getting off the beaten path with that. Tell me about the barbecue tacos at Scott's Kitchen.
All right. So barbecue tacos, you can get them. They have a wide variety of stuff. So you get pulled ribs, pulled pork, brisket. I personally like the burn ends, and my favorite one is the smoked whitefish tacos. The barbecue tacos will all come with barbecue, meat, beans, coleslaw, and some sauce, and wrapped up into a tortilla.
As a I soft describe it, tortilla? Soft tortilla?
Yeah, soft tortilla.
Yeah.
The way I describe it is a taste of barbecue in every bite.
Okay.
Whole experience of barbecue.
Well, cool. Thank you, Andrew. And there was a lot of nodding when he said Scott's Kitchen. I'm curious what our critics' take on this place is.
Well, you know, the other nice non-traditional thing that they do there besides the tacos is they do bowls. And they're open for breakfast, by the way. So if you want the brisket, pulled pork, not ribs particularly, but you put any of the other meats in a bowl. At breakfast, they serve it with eggs and potatoes. And at lunch, you can get it with black beans, rice, romaine, cheese, and salsa. So it is a non-traditional way to enjoy your barbecue.
You know what this is reminding me of? You know, in Forrest Gump, there's a scene where Tom Hanks is like naming all of the different dishes you could put shrimp in.
Oh,
this is like the barbecue version of that.
That's
barbecue.
Right.
Tacos.
That's exactly.
Bowls.
That's exactly, exactly it. I mean, that really is it. I mean, he's got a full smoker rig in the back. He has done competitive barbecue before. He has a ghost pepper sausage there that I just cannot get enough of. I get that in my breakfast burrito there. It's the Burn Street burrito. I adore it. And this place is super convenient to the airport. So if you're dropping someone off or just picking someone up in the morning, swing by there for breakfast and grab something. I took my brother there at Thanksgiving when he came in from Dallas, and he loved it. We had a great breakfast, and Scott's so nice. He always comes out and talks to everybody, which is great. But he does traditional barbecue at lunch. So if you just want a good old barbecue platter and just kind of taste everything he's got, he can certainly hook you up there. But yeah, he's got a nice mix going.
But word to the wise, they're not open on the weekends.
That's right.
Whoa, that's bold. That is confidence, actually. To be a restaurant not opening on the weekend?
That's true. 7 to 3.
He caters.
During the week.
So I suspect his weekends are full of catering.
Yeah, probably.
Let's talk to Lynn in Harrisonville. Hi, Lynn.
Hi.
What are you going to tell us about?
Organic Soul KC. They're a primarily catering company with vegan soul food. And they do a fantastic barbecue jackfruit. But even better than that, they have a really good vegan mac and cheese, which is almost impossible to find. And so they do catering, but they also have pop-ups when the weather starts to get nice. They'll have pop-ups in various places around town.
So that's Organic Soul KC is what you said it was called?
Yes, yes. And they have a website and Facebook page.
But Lynn, can I just jump in and say, do you consider, is mac and cheese something that you like with your barbecue?
I love to have, if I can find a mac and cheese that I can eat, I'll eat it with anything because it's so hard to find a really good vegan mac and cheese.
This does bring us back to the sides, I should say. And Mary, as the French fry, the known French fry,
the halo appears,
person. The role, can you just take a moment to talk about the role of the French fry in a barbecue meal?
Well, it depends on your perspective. If you're my husband, the fries are just a vehicle to eat the sauce. So he'll go through about a bottle of sauce and dip his fries in, you know, for every bite. I'm more of a purist, and I know I'm going to get a lot of pushback on this, especially if my son is listening, but I don't put my fries in barbecue sauce. It's just, I got to have
like
ketchup.
It's like people who won't put cream in their coffee.
I guess that's true. And so to me, I just like it as a side. And
me
it's
too.
Like a hamburger and fries. I just have it with my Carolina-style sandwich or whatever.
There, one of my coworkers here says that if it's a barbecue place without fries, she just can't even.
Well, and you know, Kansas City, I think, is unique in that they do fries. If you go to, you know, Tennessee or North Carolina, they don't usually have fries.
Well, let's talk on this note to Sue in Lawrence. Hi, Sue.
Hi. Good morning to everyone. I'm sure your critics are familiar with this, but it often gets overlooked, and that is Rosedale Barbecue down on Southwest Boulevard, just west of Rainbow. And I have to tell you that I grew up on Hayward's, but when I discovered Rosedale Barbecue, I was immediately hooked. Their beef, their brisket, is sliced very thin.
But I was led to believe, Sue, that you feel the fries are where they shine.
The fries are amazing. They're not too small. They're not too big. And there are never any left.
The most important part.
If we measure fries by how many are left, I think every place has amazing fries. Okay, let's talk to Maria. Maria is calling us from KCK. Hi, Maria.
Hi. I'm sorry. I've got allergies. So it's hard to talk, but I just wanted to mention a place for Mexican barbecue, Pepe's, on Strong Avenue, close to 32nd.
Right, so you're saying Pepe's?
Right, Pepe's. They have the best barbacoa, very authentic barbacoa, and then they also have this fantastic salad that's made with, it's vinaigrette, and it has cauliflower and carrots and potatoes and just a variety of vegetables, and it's a vinaigrette, it's in brine, I guess is what you would call it, but it's delicious. Well, so they have very good food, but they're only open on Saturday and Sunday, and if you don't get there by 2, you may not get any food because there's lines there. You know, from starting at 8:30 before they open at 9.
Well, Maria, thanks for letting us know about that. And it sounds like we could go to Pepe's on the days when we don't go to Scott's.
There you go.
But also, Maria, thank you. Maria, if her voice were a little stronger today, I have so many questions. But what can you tell me about barbacoa? Anyone?
Well, barbacoa, certainly... Every culture has grilled meats. Is barbacoa smoked? To me, that's the big difference. If it's not smoked, I don't know that I would call it barbecue.
Well, she says it is a smoky barbacoa. But
I think it's smoked.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, if it's not smoked, I don't know if barbacoa really meets the criteria.
But lines out the door by like 8:30 in the morning, that is something. So
it is.
I wrote it down. I have to confess.
Yes.
I wrote the details down. I'm going.
So... For a pulled pork sandwich, Carlton, you are recommending McGonagall's?
Yes, McGonagall's is my current love affair. So with McGonagall's has been around, I think, since the 50s. And from April to October, they roll out this white trailer in front of the grocery store. And they have these wonderful specials every day. Pulled pork sandwich, brisket sandwich, half a chicken on Friday for $3.99. You go in, you place your order, you give your ticket at the trailer, and then you leave there a happy camper.
The pulled pork sandwich just generally seems to be enjoying a moment in the sun.
Yes. And it's such a generous sandwich. And they ask you if you want a sweet sauce or a spicy sauce, or sometimes I go dangerous and I do a little bit of both.
You know,
Carlton.
What I love about this trailer is the price.
The price.
They are so reasonable at this trailer. Oh, my gosh. And at lunch, they're busy. So,
yes.
But it's definitely, definitely a spot people should try.
Yes.
So this is McGonagall's we're talking about. I'm Gina Kaufman. When we return, you will still have a chance to share your great barbecue discovery here in town. The thing you love that no one else seems to know about. And I know that seems like a point of pride for people, but like we need to know about it. 816-235-2888. Our critics will give a shout out to some of the classics we'd be remiss to leave out as the barbecue show continues. I'm I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard. We're talking about barbecue. I think that's all the preamble this topic requires. My guests are Jenny Vergara, Mary Block, and Carlton Logan. Hi again, you guys.
Hello.
Howdy.
Hello.
I'm going to take a quick call from Josh in Brookside because I am just very excited to hear what he is calling to say. Josh, where are you taking us?
I'm taking you to Williamsburg, Kansas, which is about an hour and 15 minutes south of where I'm at here in Brookside, and they do ribs, and it's the only I know of operating restaurant in this little town. But their ribs are amazing; they fall off the bone. They don't really do competition, but they're amazing.
You are in Brookside. You are very close to, as we've heard, more than 100 barbecue places. An easy driving distance. You are right. Choosing to take us an hour and 15 minutes away. Make the case.
Yeah, well, Johnny Carson and Bob Hope and tons of celebrities have had these ribs shipped to them in L.A. To this day, not those ones, but obviously. But they ship all around the world. And it's this little tavern in this little town. And you walk in and, you know, I think it started in the 70s and it hasn't been touched. And they've just been putting out really delicious ribs since then.
It's hard to describe what sets one rib apart from another other than it's delicious. Anything you can help us out with there, or just you have to try it?
You have to try it. They're very tender. They make their own, like, tomato vinegar sauce, which is unreal. And it comes wrapped in, like, the local newspaper. And you can take it out to the picnic out to the park next door, or, you know, in the tavern there inside, and throw a few dollars in the jukebox, play pool, and, you know, they only serve like 3-2 beer. It's a real gem. I mean,
thank you for taking
I've never
us,
had anything like it.
Thank you for taking us on this field trip, Josh. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
All right. So we are asking for off the beaten path barbecue recommendations, but before we continue with that, Carlton, you moderate a Facebook group called Kansas City Eats. I'm sure you've witnessed your fair share of barbecue debates.
Yes.
What are the most contentious issues in local barbecue?
Classic versus new. You know, the classic Gates, Bryant's versus, you know, the Q39s, that sort of thing. How it's prepared. What wood is used, what sauces, it gets very heated and it gets very individual.
I love that you're laughing so hard at this because, like, I could see this becoming a point of frustration from someone trying to keep things civil.
Yeah, it is a frustration, but what it boils down to is there's so many choices in the city. You can pick what you want. There's no right or wrong answer of what the best barbecue is. It's what you like.
The funny thing is, I can even imagine that a statement as diplomatic as that someone's out there going, what are you talking about?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I would like to read a mini essay written to us on Twitter from a former up-to-date intern, Claire Verbeck. She says, Bryant's was always the place to go when my older siblings came to town. But boy, do I wish I'd tried Joe's sooner. I'll never get those years back. Gates, on the other hand, is like an old friend, reliable, predictable, and without throwing any punches. Wyandotte Barbecue is like the cool younger sibling who flies under the radar.
Wyandotte Barbecue did bubble up on the list that I kind of started on Twitter this week. I haven't personally been there, so I don't know. But don't they have a couple locations?
I think so.
Two or three, I believe.
Yeah.
And the one I always know about is the one kind of off of 75th Street and kind of an old Taco
yes.
Bell or something mm-hmm. there. But yeah, I mean, I would tell you that barbecue aficionados kind of bubbled that up as a hidden gem as well.
Mary, you have broken down your classic recommendation list into categories. They're the categories you think most barbecue fanatics kind of think in terms of. So best ribs, best burnt ends, etc. Can you take me on just a really quick run through your best of list category by category? No explanations, just the winners. Just like take us through it.
Okay. Burn ends has to be at the top of the list. Charbar, Joe's, Kansas City, Danny Edwards, which we haven't mentioned at all. It's all over my lists. Ribs, Joe's, LC's, Danny Edwards, pulled pork, Joe's, Charbar, Scott's, brisket, Danny Edwards, Arthur Bryant, Slaps, Sauce, Danny Edwards, Joe's, Jack Stack, Baked Beans, Jack Stack. I don't have any others on my list, but Jack Stack. And there you go.
So, and who has the best fries? I'm shocked this isn't on there.
You know, that's a really good question. I know most of my family members would say Joe's, but I would say Bryant's or Danny Edwards.
I have a favorite, but I'm not allowed to say.
I'll say Joe's.
But new style, I think char bars are fabulous.
Anyone here in the studio want to offer up some other winners in the categories as Mary has defined them? Silence. Stunned silence.
I'm sure if we put our list like Mary did, we'd have different opinions. But, I mean, you know, to Carlton's point, how do you choose? Really, how do you choose? I mean, you know, everybody's got their favorite.
Okay, quickly, any tips on ordering Kansas City-style barbecue before we get back off the beaten path?
Get a little of everything. If you've never been, try it all.
Order a platter if you really want to get a taste. If you want to go to a restaurant and see, you know, what they do well, order a platter. Or the new bowls are great, too. That's a new trend is, you know.
In every style of cuisine, that is a new trend.
Yes, the bowl. Definitely.
Put it in a bowl.
Well, and you have to have sauce. You have to get whatever, you know, some sort of sauce on it. That is, Kansas City style barbecue has sauce. And the other thing is you have to get the burnt ends. If they're on the menu, you must order the burnt ends. Imperative.
Okay. So back off the beaten path. Jenny, I need to know about the green chili burger at Tin Kitchen.
Well, so that's not really my barbecue recommendation, but Tin Kitchen, I went to Tin Kitchen many, many times just to get this fabulous green chili burger that they have. And I finally realized that they have an entire rest of their menu that is dedicated exclusively to barbecue. And I'd never gotten it because I was so in love with the green chili burger, but I had a friend of mine that went with me and he ordered the giant barbecue platter, and I finally got a chance to taste it. And then it was one of those where every time I go now, I have to have the green chili burger and the barbecue. And we just split everything. We just make it happen. But Tin Kitchen is in Weston, and it's adorable. It's on the main strip. You can't miss it. TK2 is kind of on the side street. If you happen, it's still the same building. It all kind of connects. But they really are doing some really good, solid barbecue. And we normally get the platter, a lot of brisket on there, some sides, and they just do a really nice job. They're all healthy portions. It's all fresh out of
healthy
their smoker.
Healthy as in large or healthy as in
large. We're talking about barbecue here, not green salad. Yeah, no, it's a big, nice size portion. And they're friendly and lovely. So if you find yourself in Weston on a day trip or you live close to there, I mean, please, please check out Tin Kitchen.
I'm just excited to know about the green chili cheeseburger.
Go get that green chili cheeseburger, girl. It's good. It is really good. It's my favorite.
Jenny, you're also recommending bacon chips.
Yeah.
What is a bacon chip?
You know, bacon chips are one of those things where it's like brown sugar and then kind of it's an appetizer that's, you know, kind of on the menu. But it's at the a little barbecue joint.
And that's actually the name of it, A Little Barbecue Joint.
Yes, we should start there. A Little Barbecue Joint is my new favorite hidden gem in Independence, Missouri. And it is really an incredible place if you haven't been. I have to spend just a little bit on the decor before I jump back to the barbecue. It is a father and son operation, and the decor is all automobile themed. So the entire restaurant, the bar is made of like a chopped up car and car parts. And they have a deck, which actually opens today, ironically enough. So today, Friday, is the day that this outdoor deck opens. And it's all built with like cars and RVs and school buses. They have a little stage where a band can play. And you can go outside, have an ice cold beer and a nice platter of barbecue. I went in there on a Tuesday night and happened to get their pulled pork and pork sausage sandwich that came with fries. And it was really, really good. These guys are doing it. And the other thing, too, is that they've got three barbecue sauces. One's called like the Mean Mother-in-Law, which is their spicy barbecue sauce. One is like the mildest is like your sweet gal or something. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, all the barbecue sauces are named after.
This sounds like a 70s sitcom.
Yes.
List of the characters.
Yes. Wives and girlfriends of various types, depending on, you know, kind of the spice level in them. But this place is fun. And you can tell the outdoor deck would just be rocking in the summer. So if you haven't checked out A Little Barbecue joint in Independence, you must.
And you'll get the bacon chips because Jenny said so also.
Yep.
Mary, you have also got some You've got barbecue nachos on your list, speaking of chips.
Yes. Plowboys, the original location is in Blue Springs, but they also have one downtown now, kind of started the barbecue nacho craze. And it's simple and brilliant. I mean, they just take the whatever meat you want, whether it's the burnt ends or brisket or pork, and they put...
Carlton's nodding enthusiastically.
And you start with, you know, the basic layer of chips, homemade queso, jalapenos, your meat, and drizzles of barbecue sauce. So it's hard to beat.
It's exactly what it sounds like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Barbecue nachos. Mm-hmm. Carlton, you are directing us to some barbecue street corn. Your side game is on point today.
Well, thank you. Yes. So at Blind Box Barbecue, it's another kind of newish barbecue restaurant.
Where is it?
It is in Mill Creek Shopping Center, I want to say.
Okay, go on.
I think that's correct. What I like about them is they do traditional barbecue, great brisket, great burgers, but they also have like a happy hour, which is cool. RJ's has a happy hour as well. They also do a Sunday brunch. I have not been to the Sunday brunch, but it's a brunch buffet. I think it's $21. So imagine if you could... this whole buffet of ribs and pulled pork and I want to go. It's on a Sunday. I'm going to have to skip church to go.
I actually find a barbecue buffet a little terrifying. It's like I don't know if the sort of like all you can eat concept should apply to barbecue. Should it? Should it?
I don't know, but I can just picture those plates going by, just filled to the gills.
Yes, yes. And the corn is good. Somehow I missed the corn.
I was going to say, in all that, where did the corn go?
But it is very good. Wait, street corn, yes.
Yeah, talk about the corn.
So they take a whole cob of corn, which is great, because sometimes you can find elotes in a cup. I like it on the cob. With the mayonnaise or sour cream smeared on and a little Parmesan and a little seasoning. It's excellent.
So, okay, that is Blind Box Barbecue. Mm-hmm. Mary, you are recommending some burnt end hash.
I am. At Rye, and Colby does a great job with barbecue
That's
as
right.
well. And he has his own sauce. But on the weekends for brunch, Rye has a burnt end hash. So you've got spicy tomato sauce, potatoes, red pepper, and eggs. And the spicy tomato sauce with the eggs and burnt ends and potatoes, it's really a winning combination.
And Jenny, I am remiss in having skipped over you on the sides conversation. I forgot to mention that you have recommended a whole range of side dishes at Porky's Blazin' Barbecue. I'm surprised with a name like Porky's, you'd think that the star of that show would be the pork.
So I have to confess, I have not been to Porky's, but I'm leaving the studio right now and getting in my car after the show is over, and I'm driving directly to Porky's to eat. Porky's was one that got bubbled up on the Twitter feed that I started this week on this very conversation, and it's out in Grain Valley. And it's only open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which is why I wasn't able to hit it to be able to talk about it for the show today. But it's not necessarily the sides that I'm headed there for. They have incredible looking barbecue, and it got mentioned over and over and over again on this list by multiple people. So it's like a little red barn at the side of the road, and I'm just going to go in there, and I think I'm going to get maybe a sandwich and a platter just to kind of see what they're all about. They don't do fries, I don't believe, and I think it's just kind of the basic sides of kind of coleslaw, cheesy corn, baked beans, pickles. But I'm anxious to try Porky's. It really looks delicious.
And Mary, before we go, the Kobe Q?
Yes. I mean, we've talked about traditional barbecue, but I thought I should throw in some Korean barbecue. Mm. And Kobe Q is in at around 15th and Grand. And they do a traditional Korean barbecue beef that's marinated in a soy garlic marinade. And then you can have short ribs or a ribeye, and you do rice and kimchi and wrap it all up in a lettuce. So just a little bit something different to end on.
Our time is up, but this has been so fun. Food critics, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our list of the best and most unexpected barbecue in Kansas City will be online in time for your weekend, kcur.org/centralstandard. And we know the best barbecue in town is highly contested, so we're also ready for your strongly worded letters. Jenny Vergara with us from Feast Magazine and Kansas City's not-so-secret-secret test kitchen. Thank you. Mary Block, whose writings are online at Around the Block. Thank you.
Thank you.
Carlton Logan, administrator of Kansas City Eats on Facebook, food reviewer for KC Food Guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Talk to us anytime on Twitter at KCURCST. Our producers are Melody Rao, Chris Young, Coy Duggar, Suzanne Hogan, and intern Salisa Kalakal. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Linda Scher runs the board. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman.